Blooper reel.
Good morning. We are back with the Bridge Church Bridging the Gap podcast. We're not doing it as a, do we call it a mop up? Or sort of like a.
Yeah, I think we call that a mop up implies we've kind of made a mess, which.
Yeah,
which
I don't like that.
We probably have actually quite often. But follow up.
Yeah, a follow up, that's what we usually call it, yeah. Or to be fair, Bridging the Gap is a good way to describe it, isn't it? We're doing a slightly different one. It is just coincidence that we're doing this the day after we've had a mission prayer meeting. That is just coincidence, to be fair.
So, yeah, we've been thinking of doing this for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, a wee while. So, Matt, as a staff team, I say staff team, we, the two of us.
Yeah, staff team.
Yeah.
We have a staff Christmas do, Dave, don't we? So that we count as a staff team.
Yeah, we do. I didn't put that on expenses this year.
Didn't you?
No, sorry. Oh,
thanks for that. I enjoyed.
not relevant.
My shout this Christmas then.
Anyway, so as staff team, we read through several books each year. Mm. I think it's around four or five. Depends how big
the books
are. I
think it's averaged out that way, isn't it?
Yeah. Because some of them are big chunky boys, which take a wee bit longer. So why do we do that? What are the sort of things we read and why do we do that?
I think as to why, it's kind of just to try and keep ourselves on our toes and keep ourselves sharp and
sharpening the tools.
Yep, keep ourselves fed. It's varied quite a lot what we've covered, isn't it? So sometimes we just do straight theology, reading some doctrine on stuff. We quite regularly read preaching books, don't we?
I think we do a preaching book.
Again, I think it's definitely averaged out. We're starting one again now, aren't we? Tim Keller's book on preaching. We've done books on specific topics that one of us has just drawn to the other's attention, things we might not naturally be drawn to, like you and I did that book on singleness.
Yeah, by Sam Mulberry.
Yeah, not that while ago, long ago, which is brilliant. So books that we feel that we need and books that we feel will benefit the church, really. And quite often it's both, isn't it?
Yeah.
There'll be benefit in both.
Yeah, it's funny, whenever we do a doctrine one, we get to a meeting and sometimes I'll be like, oh, I haven't got to read it this week, but, blah, blah, like, and we'll just go, blah, and he knows it all, encyclopedic knowledge. Whereas I'm actually like,
I thought you were going to talk about the weeks where I said, I haven't read it, Dave, can you summarize it to me? Which is one of my
but then you have like
techniques.
You just pull out this file of your brain and you're like, oh yes, I remember Bavinck said this on the topic.
I definitely don't quote Bavinck that often.
So people have probably seen the title, A Praying Church. Why are we talking about this particular book on this particular podcast?
Well, short answer is because of you, if I remember rightly, because you drew it to my attention. I think I'd seen it somewhere online and then you mentioned it. But also we've been talking for a while, haven't we, including with the elders, about how we encourage a growing heart for praying together as a church. Most churches, it seems to me, find the prayer meeting doesn't have very high attendance. It can be a bit of a struggle sometimes, and we're no exception. So when I heard about the book from you, and because I'd read Paul Miller's previous book, A Praying Life, which had really helped me and impacted me.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, this is a book worth getting to grips with.
Yes. It is interesting, isn't it, that attends a prayer meeting. And I think the book's very helpful on talking about why that is. So it's nice to know that we're not unique in it.
Yeah. And as with a lot of other things, you've got to be careful you don't make it just about the numbers. It's not just about the numbers, but the numbers is, it's a thing as well. It's indicative, it can be.
So you
put it on my radar. What got the book on your radar, Dave, just to throw a question back at you?
Probably a couple of things. So in the past year, I've had a growing sense that my prayer life, my experience of the Lord in prayer, was quite shallow. So I wanted to find a book that would help scratch that itch. And I came across the book that you mentioned there, A Praying Life by Paul Miller, who's written this one, which I've been working through quite slowly. So whenever I saw the Praying Life one, I saw they had written this one. So it came onto my radar. And I thought, well, if I have this hunger in my personal life for a deeper experience of the Lord in prayer, perhaps this is providentially the Lord wanted me to think about that for us as a body at the Bridge Church, because is it weird, or am I just wrong? Like, the Lord uses things that are happening in our personal lives to draw attention to things that might be
absolutely
related to the church. So I think the Lord providentially, to use that word, put it on my radar because he wanted me / us to think about our corporate prayer life at the Bridge Church, because there's fresh fountains of grace that we can draw from.
Yeah. And so, was it what you expected to be? Because often, especially with, this book's been plugged quite a lot. Since you put it on my radar, I thought it was like TGC and lots of other places. It's been plugged quite a lot. I've seen it on Twitter umpteen times.
It's the algorithms.
Yeah. Yes. Good point. But like sometimes when something's plugged, you can read it and think, that wasn't what I was expecting. So what was your experience of it?
I don't really know what I was expecting, to be honest. In that it's like a weird thing to type into Google, you know, searching about prayer meetings. So I didn't know what to expect. I knew since the publisher, Crossway, had published it, that it would be of a certain style and ilk and theology. I found that as I read it, I suppose it's what I expected, in that it challenged my vision for prayer corporately, and it encouraged me at the same time. So some of what Miller writes about in this book, I see happening at the Bridge Church. So I'm like, oh, we are a praying church. But then also there are things they say, I was like, oh, there's so this is the Christian life, isn't there? There's so much more we can grow in and experience. So I suppose what I didn't expect was how honest and realistic the book was. So I often find myself thinking, oh, this isn't just me.
Yeah.
Like, that's how honest he was. And I think it had a section in each bit which was a word to pastors, which was helpful because
bit painful occasionally.
Yeah, helpful but painful. But often, I mean, I think it was page 21, he says about how prayer is like a brick that can be put around your neck, because it's just like guilt dragging you down.
Yeah.
And he's just saying, as a pastor, you can feel guilty for not praying, and you can make your congregation feel guilty for not praying. So be careful how you read this book, essentially. Yeah. So in light of some of that stuff, are we commanding this to people? Are we encouraging people to read this book?
I guess that's fairly obvious by this point of the podcast, isn't it? If we're talking about it, then we think there's really stuff in it that's worthwhile. I would definitely be commending it. You can tell me in a minute whether you will. I mean, it's approach, talking about things that you might not have expected. Yeah. Its approach might not be what people would expect. It wasn't exactly what I expected. You might not agree with everything. You don't with most books, do you? And I didn't agree with everything, or not the way he put everything. But at the end of the day, it gets you thinking about why we don't pray together as fervently as the New Testament church did.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about what we're missing out on.
Yeah.
And I think the basic message of the book, if that basic message got into our individual and corporate bloodstream, so to speak, we'd see great things happening. Not because of the book, but because of what prayer is. So for that reason, I'd say I'd be, always some caveats, but I'd be commending it. Would you?
Yeah, I think we see great things happening. Greater things happening.
Greater. Good point. You're welcome. Yeah, be positive. You're right. And you are right. Greater things.
Yeah. I think I would commend it. I think I'll talk about this a wee bit later. The book is polemical in some ways.
Yes.
Meaning he states things very strongly to get his point across.
That's the point I was going to make a bit later on too. Yeah. I wasn't going to use the fancy word like polemical, but good point.
So yes, I would commend it to people, because even if people don't agree with everything he says, it will get us talking about it. So I would say yes. And though, actually, I'll have a wee look now. Here's how strongly we are commending this. So if you go on to 10 of those, I need to find the email actually. If you go on to 10 of those, we have got a discount code for this book, for the Bridge Church. So
how much?
30% off the RRP.
Oh, that is good.
So, £17 RRP. You put in praying 30, all in capital letters, and 30 just 30, and you get 30% off at the checkout.
Yeah, that's pretty well good. Worth it.
So, that's how strongly we're commending it. Like, we got in contact with 10 of those, and they very generously said that they'd give us that code.
Brilliant. So, thank you, 10 of those.
Yeah, thank you. So, any disclaimers or caveats. We've sort of touched on some of them. We'd want to give people before they read it.
Well, I suppose the big one is the obvious one that applies to any Christian book, good and bad.
It's not the Bible.
It's not the Bible. It's fallible.
Yeah.
And what it should do is drive us to listen to what God says on the subject in his word. I also think, and you touched on this, the polemical thing, that to make his points, Miller sometimes leans deliberately hard in one direction. So, for example, in a few places, you could understand him to be suggesting that we should focus on preaching and teaching less and pray more. Whereas...
What's the Matt Bynes phrase? False dichotomy.
False dichotomy.
I still don't know what that means.
Yeah, and I think he's deliberately doing some false dichotomies a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's a polemical book in one sense. He wants to get our attention. So I'd have said, it's not that we do less of one, but we want to have more of the other.
Yeah.
And I guess he probably wouldn't disagree with that. So, and sometimes his ideas and his concepts, you know, they're helpful, but I thought, okay, that's really helpful. I think that's true, but where do you get that from scripture? Not that he doesn't make scriptural points, he certainly does, but he doesn't always quite enough for me.
It's like anecdotal. So he'll tell a wee story to illustrate the point that he's making, whereas it would be more helpful at times if it was like, oh, here's what we try to do on Sunday, state, illustrate, apply.
Yeah.
So,
And I, the points he's making, I think, are always biblical.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The big points. Yeah. It's just, I'd like it if he tied it. So, Paul, if you're listening, thank you so much. But, you know, maybe get a few more Bible verses in the next edition. but at the end of the day, if we're checking what Paul Miller's saying against scripture, then this is a book absolutely worth reading.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
So, just to whet people's appetite, Dave, they've got that discount code now. What's the book about? Can you give us the general structure, the sort of basic shape, any of the main themes?
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of in the title, which is A Praying Church, Becoming a People of Hope in a Discouraging World. That's what the book's about, becoming a people of hope in a discouraging world by praying together corporately. So here's the structure. Part one is why pray together. Part two is what is the church? Part three is how the Spirit reshapes a praying community.
Mm.
Part four, the art of praying together. So some of the pitfalls and areas to focus on as a community. And part five is specialized praying in community. So that's like prayer triplets, fasting, etc.
Yeah.
So I suppose one of the themes, again, we've already touched on, is that, and it's people will understand what we mean by polemical whenever I say this. He makes a very strong point. That page 47 thing is, he calls the church in the West prayer resistant. So he says churches in the West, UK, in his particular context, America, is set up in a way that is resistant to prayer.
Yeah.
Which sounds really harsh, doesn't it? So I think he makes that really strong point so that almost you react against it and get you thinking about why do I see that in my own life? Are we prayer resistant? So one of the things, I'm just drawing out this one theme, to be fair, I'm not doing multiple themes. I think he says that prayer seems to be the antithesis of productivity. So the complete opposite of productivity. So you can almost be like, okay, we'll pray, but then let's get on to the proper stuff of organizing and planning whatever we're going to do.
Yeah.
So he illustrates that quite nicely by just saying, think about what prayer is. You stop whatever you're doing. That's not productive. You speak words, which don't really do much, do they? They're not action.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking to an unseen Father who's in heaven, who you can't see. You're believing in faith for things that seem impossible, not knowing whether the prayer will be answered in this lifetime or in the way you would expect. That is like...
It's not efficient use of time, is it, in human terms?
It is not at all. And I suppose, as I was reading that, I was thinking, I had a conversation with a guy at the gym the other day and he asked what I do for work. What does it look like to be a minister? I said, oh, you know, 30% people... 30% preaching and teaching, and 30%, and I nearly said admin, but actually 30% of it is prayer, should be prayer.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, why was I so reluctant to say prayer? One, because it seems weird, but actually, congregation, you may rebuke me at this, but I think if someone asked me, what did I do today? And I said, oh, I spent the day praying.
Mm.
People would be like, so what did you actually do?
No, I think there is truth in that. And let's be honest, I think we think the same thing sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
I think, Joe, I've got space to spend an hour praying today. I can't spend an hour praying. I've got important stuff that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Like, what am I saying about prayer when I think that way? Yeah. So it's probably the congregation and us.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a rebuke is to say, no, we don't think that way. Yeah. Tell us if that's the case. But that's what goes through your head, doesn't it? Yeah.
But even if you have 5 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have 5 minutes. I'll do the dishes rather than pray. Like, that's the thing, yeah. Isn't it? And I think... Oh, I did do another theme. I suppose it reminded me that the church are saints. So... they have the same access to God and prayer as we do. Yeah. So it's not as though we have the bat phone to heaven.
No.
They have the same access to our loving Heavenly Father, which means we should be getting together to pray because we all have the same access, the same prayer, the same relationship. So I think that encouraged me to think, how can I encourage others to pray, not just me?
Yeah. There's those sections you outline indicate that there's a lot in there, isn't there? For what's not a huge book, he covers a lot of ground. Yeah. I mean, was there anything in the book that totally there might not be anything to say here? Anything that was totally new to you?
I don't think so necessarily. In that, like, I believe churches should pray. I believe we should pray. Yeah. I believe that's a privilege won by the Lord Jesus on the cross for us, that we have access to God in prayer without fear. I think he has his helpful, it's from one of his other books, I'm told, the J-curve, the idea of going, isn't it dying and rising with Jesus?
Yeah.
So prayer is an act of dying and rising, which I thought, I hadn't come across that concept before, but that idea that the Christian life is, you're living out Christ's life in some ways, dying and rising every day. So that was new to me.
Mm.
It was helpful. I need to do more thinking about it, to be honest.
Same here.
You've been in the game a wee bit longer than me. Anything in this book that was totally new to you?
Not like totally new, but well, I think the particular chapter that stood out to me, and this is going to overlap with what you were just saying, I think. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was chapter 11. Spirit's Path, where he's got the J-curve. And I think that really helped crystallize for me why we sometimes struggle more than we should with praying together, praying corporately. So, I mean, you mentioned the word productivity there, I think, the efficiency, that idea. The two things, I think that chapter, in my own words, this is, I would start by saying he was talking about efficiency and experience. We struggle because we want efficiency. We, like you were saying, we approach prayer in too business-like a way. We expect a return on our investment, not having to pray too long and getting results. You know, I prayed for half an hour on this and nothing happened. So there's the efficiency is a problem, and experience as well is a problem. We want and we expect experience from prayer. We think if it's really working, then we're going to feel that. So if I pray with others and I don't feel that anything's happening, that I don't sense a blessing, then there you go, that's not been a good use of time. But the point he's making in this chapter is prayer is important because God says it is, and because it connects us to the Holy Spirit's power train. That's one of his phrases, isn't it?
Power train.
And connects us to what God is doing, even when we don't see the mystery of how, and even when we don't necessarily experience anything in the moment.
Yes.
So I thought that was really important for us in our church, in the Western church, probably, to hear. Because I know there'll often be experiences of joy and power when we pray together, but often there won't be. And the Bible and church history shows us that faithful praying, as he says in this chapter, often feels like dying. Like, this is hard. There's nothing happening here.
You're aware of, like, how sinful you are as well.
Yeah, because that's part of it, yeah.
You can pray for more than, like, a minute before your mind wanders.
Yeah. and all that means that we can start beating ourselves up, but we can think, oh, this prayer thing, either I'm not doing it properly or it just doesn't work. But behind the scenes, this is what Miller's saying. Behind the scenes, when we're praying, God is hearing and he is at work through our prayers.
Yeah.
He just is.
Yeah.
That's what happens when the church prays.
Yeah.
So that I thought for me, that chapter was great because it shows me that I'm after efficiency, I'm after experience, and they're not the primary things about prayer.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was thinking about, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Probably the time of prayer that I enjoyed the most at the Bridge Church. Probably two. One was before the youth weekend away. I think there's five or six of us praying for the youth weekend away. That was great. And then before the carol service.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I probably enjoyed this because it was in my house and I didn't have to go anywhere. And there were sausages. Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't just that.
But it was a time of praying together. And I remember we had like a list of all these names of people that we had made contact with through the caroling.
Yeah.
And we were praying, Lord, would these people show up? Would they come to know you as Lord and Saviour? Not a single person showed up. But loads of different people who we didn't pray for showed up. So it's that you're praying into...
Good example. And also, the other reason that's a good example, we could think, couldn't we? There you go. We prayed for those people. They didn't turn up. Well, that didn't work.
Yeah.
We don't know what God's doing behind the scenes and in their lives because we prayed.
Yeah.
But we just make massive assumptions, don't we?
Yeah. So
it was a good, good time of prayer.
Yeah. So what aspects of this book do we already see in the life of the Bridge Church?
Well, you said about great, you corrected me, not great things happening, greater things happening. There are great things happening. People have come to faith, people are growing in grace, and people are praying in the Bridge Church. People do come along on a monthly basis. They come along to life group. We pray together. There are people in the Bridge Church who really love to pray. Or maybe I should say there are people who long to pray because they know it's, prayer is acted out to desperation. I think that's a Paul Miller phrase from A Praying Life, if I remember rightly. Because they know that the pattern of the kingdom is that the kingdom things don't happen without prayer. And we've got people in the Bridge Church who know that, who encourage me to be more of a praying person. We've got, the way he puts it in the book is, you've got your Simeons and your Annas in churches and you need to use them. And we've got Simeons and Annas doggedly praying and trusting God. There are good things happening in the Bridge when it comes to prayer, but imagine the difference it would make. This is what this book has made me think. Imagine the difference it would make and what God might do if we prayed even more consistently as Jesus commanded and more passionately. Imagine what would happen.
Yes, I think that's a good way of just framing this whole conversation. What if?
Yeah.
What if I was more dependent, we were more dependent on the Lord in prayer. And is that thing, isn't it? The Lord has ordained the means by which he'll act. Yeah. And the means are prayer.
Yeah.
Which is a mystery, but...
It is.
It means... He talks about that in the book, which is quite helpful. We're often cynical. Something happens and we've prayed for it and we think, that probably would have happened anyway.
Well, it's like the old illustration of the guy driving around the car park, giving him a parking space. He's desperate for a parking space. He's praying, please, Lord, please give me a parking space. Car pulls out and he says, oh, don't worry, Lord, someone just come out of the parking space. And we're not good in the West, I don't think. We're mystery, are we?
Yeah.
But prayer, you said prayer is a powerful mystery. Yeah. So we don't have to understand it before we do it. We just do it.
Hear me pray for a parking space the other day. It appeared. Amazing.
There you go. Woman of prayer. You should be praying more for parking spaces, Dave.
Yeah.
So in terms of things that have grabbed us, just as we're starting to wrap up a bit, but any ouch, Holy Spirit convicting moments as you read in the book, Dave?
Yes, ouch. So I think there are two bits that stuck out to me. I mean, we've already addressed them in some ways, but one was Jesus' priority of prayer. He often sought out quiet places to pray before the day's ministry, how he committed his day to the Lord, to his Father. If Jesus is our example, as well as our Saviour, then why do I not prioritise prayer in my life? You know, think Garden Gethsemane, picking the disciples. There's so many, he talks about driving out the demon, can only be done by prayer.
Yeah.
If he's our example, if he is the perfect human being, why would I not? You know, I'll try to follow Paul and Miller's example of prayer when actually in the Gospels, I have Jesus' model of prayer, so I don't have to follow.
And I mean, this is reminding me of a mount. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, but one of the ouch moments for me is I was thinking back to Christmas. We did have that time of prayer, which was wonderful. How much praying did we do as a church over Christmas for the salvation of souls? You know, the way we think is, in our efficiency, let's lay on some great accessible events and let's see if God saves. Yeah. And God uses that. But then we're doing that and we're putting so much energy into organizing and doing, and how much of our time into prayer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's something for... Well, I suppose it's actionable for Easter, isn't it?
Mm.
With our Easter events. Like, let's figure out praying for Easter events right now. My second ouch bit was Paul was talking about in Ephesians, Paul the Apostle highlights how Paul the Apostle feeds the Ephesian church by praying for them. So here's a quote. Paul doesn't teach the church about prayer. He breathes the Spirit's life as he prays. His prayer is the Spirit's conduit to bring the life of Jesus into the Ephesian community. That was a good look in the mirror moment for me. Often I think, well, I'm feeding the church by preaching, by teaching, but actually how often am I feeding by praying? Oh, and maybe one more. I was convicted by the prod about how much time priority do we give to a sermon versus prayer, or how much time would I spend prepping for a sermon versus prepping for a prayer meeting?
Yeah.
That was convicted.
And also for me, in my sermon prep, and I know we've talked about this before on air, I think of prep for the sermon as reading, thinking it through, writing stuff, and oh yeah, I need to pray about it too, as if prayer's not part of the prep.
Yeah.
And it
it seems so mad.
It's so gotta be, isn't it? Yeah. Any bits of the book that really excited you, that that you particularly long to see happening at the Bridge?
I think I'm excited to see more of the things that are already happening. So I love seeing after the service, you know, we don't have a prayer ministry per se, but we see people.
But we do.
Yeah, we have
increasingly. Yeah,
it's almost like the SAS, like it's a covert. As in, you look around after the service and you see people praying with one another,
and that is happening more, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's happening as people talk about what they're worried about, how their week's been. People just go, "Can I pray for you for that?"
Yeah,
it's organic. It's not. We're not, you know, as elders being like, you should pray for this situation. We are.
Yeah.
Like, the saints are being saints.
That reminds me, I've been meaning to say for a while that people may have noticed a change in my habits fairly recent month, in that I used to just, after service, head out because I wanted to catch people who were shooting off quickly and first-time visitors. And I'm doing that less, and I'm hanging around at the stage more, just so, and it hasn't got to be me.
Yeah.
But I just figure it's good for a pastor or elder to be hanging around near the front so people can come and pray with us, and that's happening more too. I mean, it's usually Rich grabs me first.
Yeah, of course.
Richard Roberts.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm around at the front. I know you often are, and so take us up on that, people. That there's not may not be a structured like prayer team every week, but there's us and other people.
Yeah.
Who will pray with you? Please come and ask.
Yeah, and there's other people have the same access to the Lord. Amen. As we do.
Yeah.
I think Steph mentioned elders on Monday night how encouraging was in their life group to see prayers answered so quickly for a specific situation. And we're like, oh, prayer works. Like, we all need that reminder, don't we?
We should share that more, shouldn't we, the specifics.
And I suppose he talks about on page 135 about praying big prayers. Yeah. And just like it's hard to figure out how you communicate that this isn't it, but you know, a prayer meeting where we pray big prayers, I think, but see what's on people's hearts,
yeah,
and pray for it.
Which reminds me, he also talks about prayer pyramid, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is really helpful in terms of, look, pray for the little things, pray for the huge things, but he talks about how you get get a spread.
Yeah.
So that prayer pyramid or triangle, whichever it was, that I found helpful too.
Yeah.
We can pray about the teeniest things. We need to pray the big prayers.
Yeah. So say someone listening to this podcast is convinced, they go under 10 of those, put in the discount code praying 30, they get the book, they read it. Do we want to hear from them?
Yeah, definitely. If you don't like the book, then go to Dave and get your money back from Dave. That's a joke. That won't happen.
for assistant pastor.
No, we would definitely want to hear from people, please, to know what they agreed with, which is hopefully lots. To hear about what you didn't agree with, what you got from it, what you didn't. At the end of the day, if people read it and only a few bits grab them and God uses that to bring us as a church to our knees more in prayer, how amazing would that be? But we'd love to hear what people think about it. What we really long for and need to be praying for is that God would make us more holy, joyful, bold as a result of thinking about prayer and doing it more, and that we would see more and more people saved. You know, what's not to want in that?
Yeah. I suppose there's a couple of different things people could do. They could read it as a three. And then pray as they do it.
Yeah.
A life group could commit to reading it.
Yeah.
Together. Or life group leaders could commit to reading it together, maybe.
Absolutely. Out on a Quip Sunday night, we were talking about reading the Bible one-to-one with another Christian and how important that is for us personally and for the life of the church. And you can combine these things. Yeah. If you're meeting with a person to read the Bible together, why not think at some stage about reading this together too and praying about that together when you meet?
Yeah. Or if you have a Christian who goes to a different church, meet with them, read it, and you can both talk about what prayer looks like at your churches and do a bit of cross-pollination.
Good idea.
That's the right word.
Mm.
So there we go. We would commend this book to you with all our disclaimers. Discount code PRAYING30. I don't know if I need to, like, whenever I upload this, am I going to have to put in, like, this is not an ad? I just thought about that.
I don't think so. Man. Yeah, whatever.
If I get Paul Miller.
I can't imagine any Paul Miller's going to listen to it or anybody from 10 of those either.
Yeah, if they come knocking down our door, Matt lives at... No, I'm joking. I'm not going to give you your address out. Right.
If Paul Miller is listening, thank you, Paul, because the book challenged me and blessed me.
Yes. Why don't I pray for Paul Miller? Lord, thank you for Paul Miller. Thank you for the See Jesus ministry team.
Mm.
Pray that this book would be a blessing to our church, the Bridge Church. Lord, if any other listeners from different churches are hearing this, pray that this book would bless them as well and that they'd be encouraged to, I suppose, connect to the Spirit's power train and to grow in their dependence on you in prayer. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.